I'm going to be continuing talking about sanctification, and I hope you're not getting tired of it, but it's what we are to be doing. We're to be growing and actually growing closer to the Lord and living for more each day. And today's sermon is the light that shines in darkness, the light that shines in darkness. I was thinking about, as I was preparing about this, I was thinking about Pharaoh, and when I think about Pharaoh, you know, whenever Moses was going before him and saying the different plagues were happening and stuff, and he's wanting the children of Israel to be set free, we see that the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I always found that as a strange statement, because it's like, was it really Pharaoh, or was it God? And I just want to say, when you look at that, what was happening was God was doing different things that was getting Pharaoh's attention. Pharaoh had a hard heart already. Pharaoh had pride and other sin in his life. And so when we talk about those things, we see that the things that God does a lot of times challenges us. And so it might actually harden our heart sometimes if we actually are fighting against what God is doing. And that's what we see with Pharaoh. With that being said, I saw a quote the other day. And maybe you saw it too. It says, but the plagues did not turn Pharaoh's heart towards God, and COVID hasn't turned this country's heart towards God either. And I think that we've certainly seen that, that's for sure. There's a movement that's going on right now to try to invalidate what godly homes have been teaching, and that's happening a lot. We're seeing a movement of that happening with a lot of kids as they're getting out of the house and they're growing up, they're becoming adults themselves, and those kind of things, and a lot of it gets blamed on what the families have done as far as trying to have a godly home. But I just want to say this, that really each and every person actually has to deal with God on their own. I mean, we can have a godly home, we can have godly parents, and we can have a godly church that we grow up in, and still yet, each person has to, as God starts working in their life, they have an opportunity to respond positively, or they have the opportunity to respond negatively. And that's really what's happening a lot with these things. Now, I just want to say this. Those kind of movements aren't going to work. They're not going to work. They never have. And we look at these things now and we say, wow, what is going on with what is going on in our society and that kind of thing? These things have been going on since the beginning of time. And the reason why is because of a thing called sin. And sin's been around for a long time, and evil's been around for a long, long time, so these things aren't really going to work. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say, well, my little Timmy or my little Tammy, they would never think anything bad or anything like that, but Timmy and Tammy, they grow up into adults. They grow up into adults, and they have to actually start dealing with God with their own two feet. And we'll be looking at that. And as far as when we talk about sanctification, as I talk about sanctification, this is something that as we live our lives for Christ, we have to constantly be on guard for what we're allowing in our lives and what we're taking in, as far as that's concerned. You know, I was thinking about, and this may not be the best example, but this will be the example that I'll use to start things off today. When I was, in my early 20s, I had a friend that we started, and I think I've mentioned this before, that we started a lawn care business, and we're doing a lawn care business, and one particular week, and this is Northwest Arkansas, which is, it is quite different, and that's not an opening for anybody to take a jab or anything like that, but it is quite different than West Texas. One of the ways it's different is we had like a week where it rained. I mean, it just rained and it rained and it rained and it rained, and then it rained some more. And I mean, it just didn't stop. I mean, we got, I don't know, 11 or 12 inches in like a week's time, something like that. And so that's not good for a couple of guys that are doing lawn care, because it's also very humid. I mean, if you've ever been in Houston and you thought to yourself, my goodness gracious, it's humid here. That's the way it is in Northwest Arkansas. It's very humid, and after a lot of that rain, it's just unbearable. But another thing that humidity does and that rain does is the grass just pulled out of the ground. It's like the sun was just pulling it upwards. And so we had, I don't know how many accounts we had a bunch. But we were at least a week behind, and so one of the conversations that I had with my friend was, man, the thing that's going to happen is we've got to start early and we've got to work late because we've got to catch up before this thing gets to be a runaway train. And some people go, where's my guys here? And, you know, I can't even find my way to the house and that kind of thing. And so we started doing this, and that was our plan, but we got towards the end of the evening, and as we got towards the end of the evening, we still had a couple of places to do still yet on our plan. He looks at me and he goes, I can't. I mean, he's just looking at me going, I can't, I'm done. I mean, he was saying basically, I'm tired and I can't go any further. I can't move on any further. And, you know, that's something that I don't know if you've ever been to a point in your life where you just really can't go any further. Maybe you've worked yourself into a tizzy, and I mean, you're just flat out exhausted, and you can't do anything else. Or maybe in the case of what I'm talking about today, people get in their lives where there's particular sins and particular things they're allowing in their life to the point to where they get to the bottom. They get to a place where they're at the bottom, and they go, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Something's got to change. And I've got to say that when we talk about this very thing that I'm talking about today, sadly to say, there's a lot of people that God doesn't get their attention until they get to the point where they just can't do anything else. They can't go on. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about whenever I was saved. I had really gotten to a point like that in my life where I was like, man, my life's a mess. It's a mess. And everything that I try to do isn't working. And I need Jesus. And I started seeing the light of Jesus shining into my life and into my darkness. And that's an important thing that I'll say today as you're hearing me today. Think about that. Our souls without Jesus Christ are very dark. And I'm going to back that up with the Word of God today, that our souls get into a really dark place. And I mean, we can get to a really dark place. And if we're lost, it's totally dark. It's totally dark if we're lost. And the only thing that pulls us out is a light that shines in the darkness, and that's Jesus Christ. And he does that, and that's what we'll be talking about today. This, at the very bottom where people just go, I can't go on any further. That's where a lot of people do find Christ. All I will say is, as far as Pharaoh's concerned, he had that opportunity. He had that opportunity, and he just kept hardening his heart and kept hardening his heart. There was something about God and what God was showing and the light that was shining on him in his life where he was like going, yeah, okay, and then he would go, no, and then his heart would get hard again. And that's some people's response to God. Whenever the light of God shines in their life, they actually say, no, they puff up and they have pride and they say, I don't want this. And but we see some other cases. Think about this. Think about Job for a moment. If anybody had an opportunity to have a hard heart, and I want to carefully say that nobody has that right, but if anybody was going to have a hard heart, it was Job, right? And God said to Satan, he says, hey, consider my servant Job, and Satan says, man, you strike him, and if he's stricken, he'll curse you. I mean, he won't stand with you, but God said, go for it, you know, and that kind of thing. And Job stood strong. And so we know that some people respond like Job, and some people respond to difficult times the way that Pharaoh did. I also think about Nebuchadnezzar for a moment, and as I thought about Nebuchadnezzar, he actually hardened his heart, and he actually got to graze around like a cow when God got hold of him, right? And then he came to his senses. And so I would say if you're grazing around like a cow, you probably have reached bottom. When you're eating grass, you know, you're probably reached bottom. And so it's important that we look at this and understand that there is a light in the darkness. I have 2 points today, and my first point today is the light in the darkness, and we'll be talking about the light in the darkness at this point. Now, with that being said, I was thinking about whenever I first started dating Tanya. Tanya lived on top of the mountain, and I lived at the bottom of the mountain, and we could actually, if we were to go there now, we could drive up there in just about 5 or 6 minutes, something like that. Or, I don't know, maybe 10. But man, it would take forever to get up that road because back when we were kids, it was pretty rough terrain. And I went through a lot of tires going up and down that mountain, that's for sure. And the things I do for love, honey. But anyway, I would drive up there, and I got to tell you, man, at night when I'd be taking her home, and I'd be coming back down, and there was like trees there, and it was in the middle of nowhere. We were out there, and it was dark. It was dark. I mean, and one of the things I used to do that would make her really mad is just for a second I'd turn the lights off when we'd be driving up the road, and it would be pitch black, and she'd be like, ah, you know. And she'd go, cut it out, and she'd get mad, and so I stopped doing that. It's a good thing not to do. But how many people have actually been in a cave before where you were in a cave and you turned the light off in a cave just to see how dark it was? Well, when we do that, I want to just say that when we do that, that is the darkness of a soul without Jesus Christ. It's very dark. It's very dark. And the thing that lights our way on through life is the light of Jesus Christ in one soul. So let's talk a little bit about this. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and that's where we will pick up today. And I just want to tell you that as I was looking at some of these verses today, I kind of looked at these verses this week in a different way, and so I'm going to present these verses, I think, in a different way than maybe you've thought about them before. But there's some things in there that God showed me this week that I think that you'll find interesting if you'll stay with me today. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I want to stop there for a moment, and what Jesus is saying is the heart of mankind is a telltale sign of really what's on our minds. For example, if my heart is on Jesus, then I'm going to be doing some things for Jesus that in obedience to His Word. But we see a lot of people that they do what they do, and they have their small g gods that they are serving, and by doing that you can definitely see where their heart is. And it's not really, listen to this, it's not really anything that any one of us can hide, to be honest with you. If you want to know what people's interests are and where their gaze is, you can actually just get to know someone and actually see that, and eventually there's no hiding it. And if you don't believe me, listen to what he says here. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body." The eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, I want to equate it like the eyes are like a filter, and depending on what we're really looking at, that's what's going into our souls. That's what's going into our souls. And that's either allowing light into our souls, or it's a strange kind of filter that actually allows darkness going into our souls also. Really, really strange, but Jesus says so, and I'll take His word for it. "If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." And so what he's saying is what we're taking in, what we're really kind of what we're setting our eyes on as far as our mind is concerned, what we're setting our mind on, those are the things that we're taking into our soul. And so therefore we see a lot of people in our world today that there's a lot of darkness going in there. We're living in a dark place right now. But like I said, there's been dark things since the beginning. And definitely we know that the heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. And so we know that without Christ, it's just that the person has a propensity to do that. But he says, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is the darkness? And no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, this is not just talking about just money. And so, I mean, I know that there's the issue of money here, but you can take this concept with everything that we do, what we set our eyes upon, where we set our gaze upon, where we go in life, the things that we take on as interests. As a matter of fact, I'll take it one step further and say, Maybe it's what we are entertained with, or maybe it's maybe it's what our goals are, what our dreams are, and those kind of things. And it's really important that we have God in our center. And if we have God in our center, then our eyes will be fixated on the right things, but we can also get in a very dark place. And one other thing, as far as that's concerned, is if somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never been born again, there is no light there. There is no light. And so I start with this verse here to set this up, and we'll be talking about this. One of the things I think about is like Lot's wife. God was giving Lot and his wife and his family an opportunity to escape Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He was giving them the opportunity to escape from Sodom and Gomorrah, but the one thing that Lot's wife did is she looked back. And they were told, don't look back, but you see that she looked back. And so we know that some people's appetite for the things that they're around actually are telltale signs, and it was a real telltale sign what Lot's wife did when she looked back. She was so enthralled with what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that she couldn't help but look back. And we know how that story went, right? So what we see here and what we see Jesus saying is the eye is a gateway to one's soul. The eye is a gateway to one's soul. We either bring in light or we bring in darkness, depending on what we're bringing in there. And I think that what I want to say at this point is it's important for us as Christians to understand the responsibility that we have as good stewards of this temple that God gives us to not allow the darkness in that place. Amen? We don't want to allow that in there. And we want the light of Jesus to shine in. But what we also see is when the gospel is presented, whenever we share the gospel, whether it be by God's word or whether we share the gospel in our lives and people see the gospel happening, that's something that's really significant. And it's so significant because of the fact that that's the thing that penetrates the soul of a lost person. In other words, like, for example, if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as we share this word today, the light of the gospel will start reaching down into your soul. As you hear it, it's like your eyes are allowing that into your soul, and there will be a light penetrating that darkness in your soul. And I'll talk more about this here in just a second. But that it's important for us to understand. And we have to understand that that's what the Spirit of God does, is shines the light of Jesus Christ in the soul of each and every person. And it's really, you know, when I think about this, it really is significant because I believe that Jesus died for each and every person. He paid the price for each and every person's sins. Amen? Everybody agree with that? And so what I will say is at one time or another in every person's life, it's not like they just go completely in darkness all of the time. There will be a time where the light of the gospel reaches somebody and reaches down in their soul. And so what I want to say is this, is everybody gets an opportunity to actually acknowledge Jesus Christ and surrender to Him as far as that's concerned. And so we have to allow that to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, you don't need to turn here, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says that we aren't like people that have no hope. And what Paul is saying is, as a Christian, we have some light that's going on in our souls to illuminate those particular sins and stuff that are in our lives, and we're able to see those things, and we're able to the Spirit of God shines the light down in our souls through God's Word, and we're able to see those things that we need to get rid of in our lives. Think about that for a moment. Everybody that's sitting here, maybe you think you're a pretty good person, and I think most of you guys are really pretty good people. I do. But I want to say that whenever we're serving Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel and the light of God's word will shine into your soul, and God will show you some things, and He shows you those things to where what? Where we can actually grow, where we can get those things out. We can actually go before God and go, Lord, thank you for showing me this. This is a problem for me. God doesn't want us to live with handcuffs on as far as serving Him. He wants us to be able to serve Him with everything that we got. And so He continues as we go into His Word to show us those things that need to go in our lives and those things that need to be brought into our lives also. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 2. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 11, and put in your notes Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 11. And I'm going to read to you verse 11 through 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 19. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, the Word of God says, "So then, remember that at one time, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, done by hand in the flesh." More like this was, Paul is talking about the comparison between the people that were what they called Gentiles and the people that were Israel. And there was a big difference in them as far as just the outward manifestation was concerned. "At that time you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, with no hope and without God in the world." In other words, Paul was saying to these people that more than just these outward manifestations, these people on the inside did not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. At one time they were walking outside of the covenant that God had. And when we look at how the gospel has always been expressed, we see at the start of the Bible where the family was really kind of the first institution, the house of witness, the way that God would share His witness. And then we see the nation of Israel became the house of witness. And now we live in a time where the church is the house of witness. And that's what we're seeing as far as that's concerned. And so when we look at this here, he's basically saying that there is a house of witness. And that house of witness are those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? "But now in Christ Jesus, who were far away, have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah." In other words, he's saying something changed when we became a Christian. Something changed in our lives. "For He is our peace, who made both groups one." In other words, he's saying He brings all people together as one spiritual nation for eternity through Jesus Christ. And so He brings us together. And Paul's saying that this is what happens when we are born again, that we go from being somebody looking in from the outside, and suddenly we're on the inside. We're on the inside with God and walking with Him. "And He tore down the dividing wall of hostility in His flesh. He did away with the law of commandments and regulations, so that He might create in Himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace." Do you hear that? What happens to us is we are created into a new creation, a new person, Paul is saying here. And this new person was actually at one time walking in darkness, but now they're walking in light. "A new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put hostility to death." Did you see this here? He says his purpose is to reconcile. Reconcile is a really important word, because that means that we had, when we were born, we were at odds with God because we're born in sin. And we needed to be reconciled. And that's what Jesus Christ has done by His payment on the cross, is He has reconciled us to Him. We are suddenly in a walk with Jesus again in the way that it was supposed to be in the first place. Reconciled. "When Christ came, He proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to Him who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household." And that's what I want us to see there, is we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven when we look at this. And so, in this world that we live in, there's gods, and I say that plurally, there are gods aplenty. Small g. But there's only one true God. There's only one true God, and He is the light of the world. He is the light that is shining in this darkness. And all these other small g gods are out there, but they have no light that reaches down into our souls to show and penetrate our souls and to show our need for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says that He's the light of the world. You know, and one of the things that I see here is as I look at these things, and one of the things that I see is Jesus is actually bearing fact of what Romans chapter 1 says. I mean, the Bible's consistent when we look at it properly. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that the things of God are clearly seen, so that people are without excuse, right? And when it says we're without excuse, there's nobody that can say that I didn't have an opportunity to have Christ in my soul, that the light shines on each and every person. And that's what Romans chapter 1 says, and that's what Ephesians is saying, and that's what Jesus is saying. And I'm going to show you also where Jesus actually pretty much verifies the same thing in John chapter 3. And what I want to say before we look at some more verses is this, is number one, we are reconciled. And if we're reconciled, and when we talk about sanctification, we are reconciled, so we are now able to actually have this light make the difference and make the changes in our lives that we need to be making. Has anybody arrived spiritually in here? Nobody? Not one person. Not one person. None of us have arrived. We are all a work in progress. Amen? We are a work in progress. And so it's important to understand that we are a work in progress. We were aliens. But what were we aliens to? We were aliens to the light of the gospel. We were aliens to the truth of the gospel. There was no light showing in our souls what needed, the need that we had for Christ. And then the light of Christ shined in our souls and we had the opportunity to respond to that, didn't we? And it says we were strangers, but we're strangers to the light no more as born-again people. Now, back in Ephesians, and I should have just kept my Bible open, but let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 6. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for because of these things, God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. There's a lot of empty philosophical thought that goes on out there. There's a lot of where people say that they have the right answers and they have the right way. And we have a lot of people that say that God is not even the way. And they think that they have a better way. But it says here, let no one deceive you. Paul's saying, let no one deceive you. And the reason why people are deceived, and they might say something differently, but I'm going to identify what they are saying with the truth. And it says that they are deceived. There's a deception going on. There's a deception going on. And we're going to talk about this deception here. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How are we children of light? Because we are walking with the Word of God and the Spirit of God shining down into our souls and showing us on a regular basis the things that need to go and showing us the things that need to stay. Does that make sense? Do you agree with that? All right, so we have some amens as far as that's concerned. It says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Discerning what, listen to this, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. How do I know how to make God happy? The only way that I know how to make God happy is to be in His Word and let His light be shining down into my soul. And listen, like I said, the Bible tells us that our eyes are the gateway to that. In other words, it's where we place our eyes on. And I don't mean just eyes like these eyes here, even though that's a lot of it. But it's where we place our interests and our loves. And it says, don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. There it is again. We are not to be placing ourselves in harm's way. And in this case here, darkness. But instead, expose them. Expose them. And that's what light does in darkness. Light shines on dark places and exposes the things in there. We were spelunking in a cave one time. As we were spelunking through a cave, a lot of us had our lights on our headlamp that we had as we were going through there. And a lot of the kids that I was with as when I was a youth pastor were just crawling over this little creek that was running down through the cave. And then I came through there and I put my head down and the light shined down there. And all of us had crawled right over the top of a snake. We wouldn't have known he was there. I wouldn't have known he was there had I not looked down with that light, and I was like, ah, you know, clunk, hit my head on the top of the cave. I mean, there he was, and they had all gone across it. They had all gone across it. There's no telling what's crawling around in the darkness, brothers and sisters. And so it says, don't participate in the fruitless work of darkness, but instead expose them. The light exposes those things. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. Under the light of Jesus Christ and His Word illuminates all of the things that need to go in our life and the things that need to be put into our life. Amen? For what makes everything clear is light. This is the Word of God, brothers and sisters. Listen to it. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, listen, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. We need the light of the Messiah shining into our souls and shining in those dark places to illuminate the things that need to go. Now here's my second point. I've only got 2 points today. My second point today is the thirst for evil prevents light. The thirst for evil prevents light. And so God wants our hearts, brothers and sisters. God wants our hearts. And that's so important for you to hear right now. God wants your heart. God wants my heart. He wants our heart. He wants the heart of this church. God wants us depending on Him. And it's not like where He can get His ego stroked or whatever. That's not what it is. What it is He's trying to make our lives something fruitful instead of something dark and destructive. And we don't want to believe that a lot of times in our own pride. We like to think, man, I got this. I got this all by myself. And all by ourselves, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble, don't we? So, you know, here's a question a lot of people always ask. And why is there evil? Why is there evil? Well, I've got a very simplistic answer for you. There's evil because of the rejection of God's light. The reason why there's evil is rejection of God's light. And yeah, you heard me say it. It's indeed a choice. It's indeed a choice. And when I say it's a choice, I say it's a choice because God doesn't just like make us robots. And we've said this a million times. But He hasn't just made us programmed robots to where, yes, I will love you, Jesus. People get so mad and they go, I'm so mad at God because there's this evil in this world. That's not God doing that. That's the choice of mankind doing that. That's them saying, I don't like what the light is exposing. I want to keep it concealed because I like it. And that's why it's there. And the choice is there because God loves us and we actually get an opportunity to accept the gift of salvation and accept the love of God in our lives. And yet God's not going to force it. Did anybody in here get married by force? And I know there's some people go, I know of one time where the dad got a shotgun and, you know, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that true love actually allows choice, doesn't it? And so there's evil in this world because of the rejection of God's light. The next place I want to go to in the Word of God is in John chapter 3, verse 16. Anybody ever heard of John 3:16 before? Well, let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16, and the verses past that, and see if we don't see something a little bit different than what we normally use John 3:16 for. Not like I'm going to give this new meaning. That's not happening. But there's some things back behind this verse here that I want us to see today in light of what we're talking about. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. So the Word of God says that when we believe on God, then we will be given eternal life. Amen. And we also know that it says whosoever. And that also, once again, manifests a choice, doesn't it? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. In other words, as much as people like to say that this evil God wanted to send people to hell, that's not what the Word of God says, is it? It says He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him be saved. Get this, this is really important, you're getting ready to hear this. As a matter of fact, He came to save us from condemnation. We were condemned already. And that's what it's saying here. And for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world be saved through Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. It's already done. How come? Because they were born in sin. And Jesus came to protect us from that, to deliver us from that, because he has not believed the name of the one and only Son of God. And it says, this is the judgment. This is judgment. What is the judgment? Look at what it says. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. What is the judgment? The judgment is the same thing that happened with Pharaoh. It's the same thing that happened with Pharaoh. Accept what God says, and you are free from condemnation. You are delivered from condemnation. But if you don't, and darkness is what you prefer, if darkness is what you prefer, then you're condemned. Because basically it says, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Now, that's an interesting statement. That's an interesting statement because here's what I want us to think about for a moment. Every one of us in our flesh loves darkness and loves the evil that came along with it. And that's why I started this thing off by talking about, man, sometimes we've got to go all the way down to the bottom to see all of those dark things in our lives that we think are so important to us are things that destroy us. And a lot of us, we can get down to the bottom and go, that's enough. I can't go on any further. So someone like Pharaoh, what does he say? He says, I just can't do that. Because you know what that means? That means that you have to admit that God is right and you're wrong. I don't know, and I don't mean this in a braggadocious way, I don't. But man, when I realized my sinfulness, I didn't want to sit there and look at God and go, and I see your light, and I see that you're providing a way for me, but I just kind of like this too much, and I don't need you. I was like, man, I need you. I need you. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it. You see that? They avoid it. They avoid it. They avoid it. They avoid it. So that his deeds may not be exposed. That is so important that you see what is being said in God's Word there. So that it won't be exposed. People like their little sin. They like their little sin and they like to hide their little sin in the darkness. And then the light of God, the gospel shines down on that little sin and they see it. And then they've got to do something with it. They've either got to hang on to it and fall in love with it and serve it, or they have to let it go. Because there's revelation that happens when Jesus, the light of Jesus, comes in. And this is bearing witness with Romans chapter 1. The things of God are clearly seen. God shines the light into their souls and shows their sin to them. Amen? But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. And that's another key phrase right there. Are you willing to let God take away those things and then let God do something in you? And a lot of people go, no, I don't want to let go of this. I like this. Even though it's destroying their lives, they like it and they don't want to let go of it. And brothers and sisters, if you just think that I'm talking about somebody that's lost today, I want to speak to us Christians also. We have to continue in our sanctification process to let God's light shine in our lights. And we need to be protecting ourselves with the things that the gate of our eye is allowing into our souls. The darkness it brings in there. We've got to continue to bring the light in there. And you know what? The Word of God says it's a war. And it is a war. But here's some things that we get from this. The first thing that we see is when the person that believes is not condemned. Refusal to believe, that person is condemned. And that's what's being said. That's the judgment that's taking place. It's saying that I refuse the light of the gospel. And that brings condemnation. And it's not Jesus' fault. It's the person's fault. It's what it says right there. So the lost world gets really mad and says, they get really mad. They go, man, God's doing this. And I just want to say to those people, God's not doing this. God's trying to save you. God's trying to save us. God's trying to deliver us. That's what he's doing. Quit getting mad at him and let him show you your sin. and give it to him. You know, I talked about my friend all the time that, man, nobody said to him that there would be things that you have to give up. He knew it. The light of the gospel was shining in his soul, and he was saying, man, if I give my life to Jesus, he's going to ask some things out of me. That's not what was presented to him. What was presented to him is to repent of his sin and ask Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior, knowing that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for his soul, and then he rose again and had power to overcome death. That's what was presented to him. He says, yeah, but if I do that, I'm going to have to give up something, aren't I? And it's like, no, you don't have to do anything except give your life to Jesus, and he'll expose those things, and you'll give it to him. And you know what? That scared him. And that scares a lot of people. And it shouldn't scare us, because it's actually coming in and cleaning out a lot of darkness. And brothers and sisters, look at what's going on in our world right now. We don't need any more darkness, do we? The light of Jesus is actually the entrance of light for every soul. It is going into that dark cave and shining the light and exposing everything that's going on. But I want you to notice something that Jesus is saying here. He's stating the fact that people love darkness. In our flesh, every one of us loves darkness. We like the darkness because there is something in our soul that craves, really it craves God and His righteousness. But it means there's some surrender, and so there's something in the soul that's I kind of like this little thing here. I kind of like it. Doesn't this make you a little uncomfortable to hear, by the way? It makes me very uncomfortable because you know what? It bears out something really important that the Word of God tells us. There is none righteous. No, not one. It tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And as you sit here right now, nobody's going to raise their hand and go, yep, that's me. But all of you, you know it's true. One time somebody actually got mad at that statement. They got mad, and I understand, and understand sometimes we say that as preachers, and people get mad. And the person got mad and says, you know what? I don't like you talking about me like that. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know what you were possibly thinking. But I know that there was something there. Well, you don't know that. That's what the Bible tells us. Tell me it's not true. And so, basically, people have a love for darkness and they hate the light. Listen to this. Jesus says they hate that light that exposes their sin. So something happens whenever the gospel shines down into one's soul. Man, it's decision time. It's decision time. Am I going to run from this? Or am I going to take a really good hard look at what God is showing me and admit my need for Him? Two, right? Okay. So we see here that Jesus verifies what is said in Romans chapter 1. Light shines to all mankind and exposes their sin. And notice this in verse 20. We don't like our sins exposed. We don't like it. We don't like it. I don't like it. And that's what the Word of God tells us. But sometimes we have to hear the hard things, don't we? In order to clean up our souls and therefore sanctification. You know, we see also that many run back to their darkness after exposure of what they love because there's little sins in their soul that they kind of like. They kind of like it, and they don't want it exposed, and so they run away from what you were hearing right now. They run away, and that's what the Word of God says. But I want to remind you that Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but the world be saved through Him. Jesus was on a rescue mission when He came, and He came to rescue each and every person. So, is there a difference between belief and unbelief? Is there a difference between belief and unbelief? Absolutely there is. What is the difference? The difference between belief and unbelief is the exposure of light on one's darkness and what they do with it. The unbeliever, they get their sin exposed just like the believer does. They do. God shines His light of the gospel in their souls, and if they believe, they go, I believe what I'm seeing. But the unbeliever says, I don't want that seeing, and I'm not going to do it. And maybe you're sitting here today, and God is, His Spirit is speaking to you through His Word, and you will have a choice. Do you want to admit that there's sin in your life that Jesus paid for and that you need salvation? Or do you want to keep it and hang on to it and love it and make it your little pet? And therefore, there's the problem with a lot of people. That's why there's an anger reaction. That's why there is an anger reaction from the lost world. They get angry and they go, how dare you call me a sinner? I told you needed Jesus. I just shared the gospel. No, you think you're better than me, they say. No, I don't. No, I don't. I know that Jesus is what you need, and that's what I needed. That's what's going on. But they get so angry, and they say, you're no different than I am. In my flesh, you were absolutely right, I would say. But in my spirit, because what Jesus has done, I have the ability to actually fight back against this and not have it dictate my life. Sanctification. And that's what each and every one of us needs. Verse 21 says, but anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. That is so important, what Jesus is saying. It is so important because it's saying that our works, our sinfulness is shown to us. Our sinfulness is shown to us, but it's not shown to us for any other reason to show that it's something only God can take care of. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of works. It's something and see, pride does not like that statement. Pride says, I got control of my life. I got it. I got this. Tell me what you got on your deathbed. So repentance to what the light exposes is what the believer does. And repentance to what the light exposes is what we do in the process of sanctification. We continue to understand that God's going to be showing us things that need to go or things that need to be fine-tuned. And we say, yes, Lord. And we make those changes, and the process of sanctification takes place. The last three verses I'll share with you. I want to close with three verses. I want to close with three verses today. The first one, if you're taking notes, is in John chapter 17 and verse 2 and 3. In John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, the Word of God says this, since you gave Him authority over all people so that He may give eternal life, that's Jesus, to everyone you have given Him, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer for the darkness in the souls of mankind. And brothers and sisters, us as saved people, Jesus Christ, the light of His gospel, must continue to shine down into our souls for us to continue to grow and to change and actually, get this, not have a destroyed life. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11 is the second of the three verses I'm closing with today. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, you, however, are not in the flesh, us Christians. This is Paul speaking to Christians. He says, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. There is a difference between someone that has the light of Jesus in them and someone who doesn't have the light of Jesus. And that is, we are no longer in the flesh, that we've been spiritually born again. We've been made alive. And so that's where we belong now. Brothers and sisters, we Christians, this is where we belong. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who has raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. In other words, we can have the constant flooding of the light of the gospel going into our souls because it is a place where it has a direct track for the light of Jesus in our lives. One last verse. John chapter 8, verse 12, and this is what I close with. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again. He says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Brothers and sisters, with Jesus in our lives, He is the light of the world. That's what we need in order to continue to grow and to live a fruitful life as a Christian. Amen? And therefore, we've got to take time to be in God's Word. We've got to take time to let God change us. We've got to make those efforts because it is so important for our health and well-being spiritually. And if you're sitting here today, I want you to hear this. Jesus is the light of the world, and the Word of God tells us today that it's shining down on your sin, and it's showing you those things, not to say, ha, 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 you've got sin, to show you what needs to be cleaned up and why Jesus came into the world to save you from this, to where your life can really count for something. And not just for this life, which the Bible says that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but on into eternity also. It's our entrance into heaven. And so, the way that the light of Christ is seen is through allowing Christ to shine through our lives. Amen? All right, let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Jesus coming and bringing the light for our darkness. And Father, I pray that You'll continue to expose the dark areas of our lives where we can give them to You and let Your cross of Your Son take care of it. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that You'll speak to their hearts today and show them that their soul is hiding in the darkness a lot of things that Your Son Jesus has meant to clean out of their lives. And Father, we need You, and we need You in our lives each and every day. We need the light of Your Word, the light of Your ways, the light of Your Spirit. And Father, thank You so much for the payment that Jesus paid on the cross to help us from this condemnation, to reconcile us in right relationship with You. Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, that You will speak to them right now. Speak down in their souls. Let the light of this truth shine in their souls right now. And Father, give them the courage to say yes and accept the free gift that You offer them right now. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for our morning service. If you reside in Midland or surrounding areas, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, north of Cuthbert and south of the Andrews Highway. We are also distributing DVDs of The Life of Jesus. If you would like a copy, send us an email with your return address. Our email address is ahbcmidland@suddenlymail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.